friend like me. Murderbot's relationships with other AIs throughout the Murderbot Diaries. Written by Artemis the Huntress and read by Wilfriede0815. Summary. An analysis of Murderbot's many and varied relationships with other AI and robot characters throughout the Murderbot Diaries. How that contrasts with the way AI characters are often presented in sci-fi, and why that matters. Originally posted to Tumblr on May 10, 2024. For week one of Murder Meta May, Inside. It's important to me that the thematic core of the Murderbot Diaries is not only about determining what it means to be a robot person in a human world, but about showcasing so many ways to be a robot person in a human world. And about building relationships with other robot persons to support that self-actualization as both a robot and a person. So often, in science fiction about robot personhood, the robot character is the only robot in the cast. Not only that, so often the robot character is the only robot they know. Lieutenant Data from Star Trek: The Next Generation is probably the most famous example. The only positronic android like himself in existence, barring his evil twin who mostly just needs to be stopped. Others coming to mind include Becky Chambers's A Closed and Common Orbit, in which the AI character is trying to understand who she is in the context of being surrounded by humans. Alien, the secret android crewmate among humans is a threat, and in the sequel Aliens, the android crewmate is earnestly trying to prove he's not. Space Weepers has a ragtag crew of several humans and a robot. Most of the stories in Isaac Asimov's I, Robot are about a singular robot in a human facility. The setup, human crew with their ship AI, is fairly common in sci-fi, from 2001 A Space Odyssey, with its tragically antagonistic HAL 9000 operating on a logic that would never occur to humans, to Wolf 359, and The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet, where the ship AIs are struggling to determine and articulate how they want to relate to their human friends. Even in Ancillary Justice, Breck is alone, and having to pass undercover as a human, cut adrift from her previous life as a ship's AI. I know this changes later, but I have not actually read the rest of the trilogy. When media thinks about AI personhood, or AIs as characters in society, the AI character is often alone. Alone and different. It's a potent allegory for what it feels like to be an outsider, to be other, to feel off from the people around you. Whether a sympathetic friend or a scary, unknowable villain, a lot of people can relate to feeling like that. The Murderbot Diaries is doing something interesting then, by showing us our protagonist Murderbot, the prototypical robot among humans. The robot is a parallel for queer and neurodivergent and outsider cultural experiences in the world of expected norms. The robot with human friends, the one robot member of an otherwise all-human team. And it can't live like that. So it leaves. So far, the series feels split into two halves. The first four books, about Murderbot learning different ways to be a robot in relationships with humans, and the next three, as of System Collapse, about Murderbot learning different ways to be a robot in relationships with other robots, and a robot in mixed society. In All Systems Red, Murderbot starts off painfully alone. It repeatedly sees other SEC units as enemies, and believes that SEC units can't trust each other because they're all under control of humans. It has a very low opinion of SEC units, including itself. Murderbot hates being used by humans for violence or for petty reasons, and admits that it wants to half-ass its job. In Artificial Condition, Murderbot meets Art, a university research ship who loves its crew and loves its function. It is also free to be a snarky asshole, as Murderbot repeatedly notes, and assigns in its very name. This relationship to humans, genuinely caring for its crew, genuinely wanting to participate in its research and teaching function, is a very different relationship than Murderbot has had, though Art still needs to keep its intelligence and personality hidden from most humans for its own safety. Conversely, this is the book where Murderbot meets a comfort unit that is blatantly being abused and misused by its human owner. And it hates her. The contrast between Art and the comfort unit displays very different ways of AIs relating to their human owners, and what it means for them to get what they want out of life. In Rogue Protocol, Murderbot confronts this theme most directly with the bot Mickey. Unlike the implications of secrecy we get from Art, Mickey is not hidden from anybody. Unlike with the comfort unit, Mickey is a respected and equal member of its team. Modabot has a very hard time believing that Miki's anything but a patronized pet bot to these humans, despite the evidence that the humans genuinely consider it a friend and teammate. Miki has never been abused and never had to hide. Modabot has a hard time accepting that this is a way bots and humans can relate to each other. But Miki still, in the classical sci-fi robot on a human team way, unique. It expresses to Modabot, I have human friends, but I never had a friend like me. This is a much better way of being a robot among humans than Modabot has seen before, but it's still not the ideal Modabot wants either. Exit strategy brings the theme full circle and the quartet to a close. Modabot faces off against a combat sec unit, or combat unit, well seems to change your mind about this. The combat sec unit represents everything Modabot has rejected being, everything it has overcome on its journey of self-actualization. During their fight, the CSU rejects Modabot's offers of freedom, money, a fake ID, the opportunity to get out of its situation the way Modabot has. It ignores the offer. Modabot asks the CSU what it wants. The CSU replies, I want to kill you. The CSU represents the kind of sec unit Modabot does not want to be. The kind of robot it used to think it would inevitably be, but has now seen so many other ways it can be. Modabot says in the same scene, I'm not sure it, the offer of freedom, would have worked on me before my mass murder incident. I didn't know what I wanted. I still don't know what I wanted. But at the same time, the confrontation makes it clear, Modabot knows some things it doesn't want, and the CSU is embracing everything Modabot doesn't want about being a sec unit. If this quartet is about what it means to be a robot, and to be a robot among humans, then the next set of books, Network Effect, Fugitive Telemetry, and System Collapse, is about being a robot among other robots, and a robot in a society that supports both humans and robots. Fugitive Telemetry makes this most obvious, with its plotline about the free bot community and preservation. Modabot is uncomfortable around them in a similar way that it was uncomfortable around Miki. The preservation bots are happy, fulfilled, responsible, mutually supportive, and have a meaningful community with both humans and each other that does not match Modabot's experiences of what being a bot, or being a bot among humans, means. Network Effect brings Modabot back into contact with art and introduces a new sec unit, 3. Modabot navigating its relationship with art as a free agent and after perceived betrayal is a huge part of the book. Modabot's disembodied software fork, Modabot 2.0, freed from much of Modabot's organic anxiety, shows itself much more willing to be social with other bots and constructs. System Collapse follows, bringing further depth and complexity to Modabot's relationship with art and expanding its interactions with 3, and furthers Modabot's integration into the casual bot-human community that is art's crew. It also shows that Modabot's willingness to trust and even form tentative friendships with other AIs and systems, like Ada Call 2, has expanded. The way it extends the governor module hack to the opposing sec units is informed a lot more strongly by Modabot 2.0's interactions with 3 than its own previous clumsy attempts to reach out to the CSU in exit strategy, or abrupt dumping of the hack on the comfort unit in artificial condition. All of these plotlines emphasize Modabot maturing into not just being a person among humans, but a person recognizing its place and obligations within society that includes both people like and unlike it. The models of the many ways to be a robot person and significant relationships and interactions with other robot persons were and are crucial to Modabot's development, sense of self, articulation of its desires, and sense of belonging in the world. Modabot isn't alone, and it's not the only person like itself that it knows. When offered a place in society, it is not the only person like itself in that society. Meeting other AIs, forming relationships with them, was crucial in helping it articulate what it wants in its life. Its human friends are incredibly important to it. That doesn't stop being true. But so are its AI friends, and the other AIs it passed through the lives of. This feels like one of the most honest and affirming depictions of what it's like to feel other. That being around only majority people unlike you, even the ones you like, even your friends, even the ones who mean the best for you and ask what you need and do everything they can to provide it, can still be exhausting and alienating. Meeting other people like you, even if they're like you in unlike ways and have different ways of moving through the world, shows you the many ways to relate to the rest of the world, to be in the world. The many ways to relate to other people and to yourself. The Murderbot Diaries opens up a world where that can be true of bots, construct, AI characters. When so often in sci-fi, their loneliness and alienation is where the metaphor stops. The end.